Beloved, we return to the Gospel of Matthew this evening. We come to chapter 27. We begin a new chapter tonight. We completed chapter 26 this morning. We saw that Peter denied Christ three times, as Christ predicted. And then we see Peter weeping bitterly and repenting. And now the scene changes. We come to the morning, and they're about to leave the high priest's palace and send him to Pontius Pilate, where he's dwelling in the area. So we're going to have a transition from the ecclesiastical court to the civil court, if you will. Lots of back and forth and movement, but we're starting the next step towards Christ's crucifixion. So we come to Matthew chapter 27, verses 1 and 2. Hear now the word of the Lord. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. As it is a brief text, and we won't have a lot to be looking at very long, let me read it once more. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said that a candle is not lit to be put under a bushel, but on a candlestick to give light unto all. So he had to be crucified by the Gentile Romans to be lifted up on the cross and shine his light of salvation around the world to all people groups besides the Jews. The Lord said in John chapter 12, verse 32, "If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." And so, beloved, he has drawn you Gentiles to him by bringing your eyes to the cross, the crucifixion. And here again tonight, he draws you to himself. Jesus faced the cross, not only for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles, to restore the whole human race to God his Father, to reunite an entire family. The false trial was finished by the Jewish religious leaders, the Sanhedrin, and now they just needed the Romans to execute the decision, and the execution of that decision would be what? The execution of Jesus Christ. Israel is no longer a sovereign nation. It is no longer a theocracy. It can excommunicate a man, but it cannot execute a man. Rome now rules them in the civil sphere of life. The Sanhedrin pronounced the death sentence on Jesus. Now they needed Pilate to kill Jesus for them. John 18, verse 31, they said they were not legally allowed to execute a man. They needed the government. Romans 13, remember, teaches us that the civil government has the sword of the physical punishment, capital punishment in this case. And the church no longer has that all together as the Old Testament theocracy, as it does not today. In particular, the Romans executed their criminals with crucifixion, lifting the person up upon the cross. And this was prophesied of Christ per Deuteronomy 21:23, as referred to in Galatians 3:13, "Cursed is he who is hung on a tree." They could not do it now. So Jesus went to the Romans. He went to the Gentiles to get it done. Yes, they're binding him and sending him there as Isaac was to be slaughtered, as it seemed with Abraham in Genesis, as Jesus is the Lamb of God being sent to be slaughtered for us. But really, again, Jesus is sending himself, because it has to be according to prophecy. Jesus is led by the Jews to the Gentiles to be judged by and save all people groups. I give that to you as the idea of the text that I'm building on with earlier context. Jesus is led by the Jews to the Gentiles to be judged by and save all people groups. Now, Jesus prophesied this already in chapter 20. Look back with me in chapter 20, verses 18 and 19. Jesus speaking to his disciples, knowing he's going to take them to Jerusalem, explains, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again." So Jesus points out that the Jews are going to have to hand him over to the Gentiles, for it is the Gentiles who will crucify him, specifically the Romans. But Matthew shows that this isn't the first place of prophecy, though Jesus prophesies it. It has been prophesied much earlier. Turn back with me to Matthew chapter 12, beginning with verse 18. Matthew chapter 12, verses 18 through 21. Now, I point out to you as we're about to read this, Matthew's referring to and quoting Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 4, and chapter 11, verse 10. Here in Matthew 12, 18 to 21, quoting Isaiah 42, sections of Isaiah 42 and 11. "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust." But Matthew draws our attention to this aspect of the Messiah going to the Gentiles even earlier. Look with me at chapter 10, verse 18. Chapter 10, verse 18. Jesus says to his disciples, as they will follow what their master goes through, "And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles." Just as we know in Romans chapters 1 through 3, no one is without sin. No one is not guilty before God. Everyone needs Jesus. So we see that Jesus has come to give a testimony against the Jews, but also against the Greeks or the Gentiles or the Romans. Essentially all people groups, Jews and everyone else who are not God's people. Jesus has come to witness to them, witnessed against them, but also bring a witness to them and himself. Matthew, even earlier still, early in the gospel, draws our attention to this in terms of where Jesus sets up most of his beginning of his ministry. Chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. Matthew 4, verses 12 through 16. And here Isaiah is quoted again. Isaiah 9, 1 to 2, and chapter 42, verse 7. Here now the emphasis as what would be prophesied of the Messiah coming to be in Jesus Christ. Chapter 4, beginning with verse 12. "Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtalim, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." I want you to recognize that emphasis on light related to coming to the Gentiles. Now, here we see he's going to Galilee. And he's working in Galilee. And this would have been understood as an area not so great, not really the Jewish area. Those beyond or on the outskirts of the Jewish town going into a significant area of the Gentiles and those a bit notorious Gentiles. Now, Jesus said that he would return to meet them here in Galilee after the resurrection, per Matthew chapter 26, verse 32. And this is also why the women in the priest's palace that were accusing Peter of being with Jesus noted Jesus was not only from Nazareth, but he was from Galilee. Chapter 26, verse 69. That wasn't a compliment either. Again, it's understood as the outskirts where the line of Jews end and the line of the Gentiles develop in an area where not the best Gentiles are hanging out. So this is a group of people, a significant group of people that Jesus has come to save, and he sets up shop, if you will, of his ministry there. That's significant to recognize all these connections with the Gentiles and bringing them light in his ministry as fulfilled by the prophets as it relates to where he's about to go now, Pontius Pilate. Remember that he does tell again his disciples to meet him in Galilee once he is resurrected. Further, we're going to look at Isaiah. Now, I want you to have Isaiah open. We're going to look at a number of scriptures. Some of them have just been quoted specifically, explicitly in Matthew, but we're also going to look at a number of other scriptures in Isaiah that just make it so clear that the idea of the Messiah going to save the Gentiles by means of the Gentiles is significant for Jesus as he takes these steps toward the cross. We look together at Isaiah 42, verse 6. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. Notice again that idea of light. Now turn ahead with me to Isaiah 49, chapter 49. Isaiah 49, verse 6. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Now look at verse 22. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles, and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring the sons, thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. Look at chapter 54 of Isaiah. Isaiah 54, verse 3. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Now look ahead to chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60, and there's several verses we'll look at here. First, Isaiah 60, verse 3. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Now look at verse 5. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Look at verse 11. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. Verse 16. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, and shall suck the breast of kings. And thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am the Savior, and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Now we turn to chapter 61 of Isaiah, verse 6. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. Now look at verse 9. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. Now look with me at chapter 62. Verse 2, and the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Now look with me at chapter 66. Chapter 66, verse 12. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall be borne upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees. And now look at verse 19. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, that draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan, to the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. See, Isaiah especially draws our attention, all these prophecies of Jesus the Messiah. When he comes, he is not only the King of the Jews, he is the Savior of the Gentiles. And so Jesus will be sent to the Gentiles for the means of their salvation, as well as the Jews. Malachi 1 verse 11 similarly says, For from the rising of the sun even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. You see this great emphasis. Jesus had to go to the Romans, to the Gentiles, to take upon their means of execution, which would be their means of salvation. Are you not thankful, beloved, that Jesus sent himself to the Gentiles to be crucified? For this is how you, a Gentile, are now grafted into God's vine and are part of his house and family. He is being lifted up to enlighten your eyes. Ephesians 2, verses 11 through 13. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And it goes on to say, Paul goes on to say, Christ and the cross has brought together Jew and Gentile as one and the same. You know, I look out over the church and I see that we have a number of nationalities represented, a number of continents represented. Our ancestors come from all different places, and here we find ourselves together in San Diego, a faraway place as it were. But Jesus has come to you. Jesus has sought you out. He started coming for you as he sent himself to the Gentiles to be crucified, to be lifted up and bring his light to you. Are you not grateful that he has found you, that he has shown himself to you, my fellow Gentiles? None of us are Israelites by birth. None of us have that ethnicity, but we are, by being born again and having the faith of Abraham, we know from Galatians, we are true Jews, for Jesus has made it so. He started taking that journey towards the cross, going to Pontius Pilate. Matthew Henry points out that it was about a mile-long walk, a mile from Caiaphas's house to Pilate's. So your Savior was led through the streets of Jerusalem, a long, torturous walk, and it wasn't the last one. It would end later among a few back and forths. It would end with his carrying the cross upon his back that he'd be crucified to, horribly beaten and near death even at that moment. But it was to get to the Roman cross, to get to you Gentiles. Now Jesus sends his kingdom throughout the globe, calling out his elect from all nations of the earth. He has come to where you are, beloved Gentiles. He has shown you his glorious grace before you and filled you with his salvation. Are you not so very thankful not to be left out in the darkness of Satan's lair any longer? Jesus came all the way to where you are, beginning in his steps from Caiaphas' home to the dwelling place of Pontius Pilate. Where you are now, a non-Jew, living in darkness and ignorance until he found you. You who were not his people, he has made his people. He who was not your God has become your God through Emmanuel, God with us. Are you not thankful that the light of the world was lifted up by the Romans on the cross so that you too could see him and be saved by him? Are you not grateful that you who were in darkness have seen a great light? That the Lord Jesus is the light unto you, Gentiles. This is the message for you this evening. Jesus is the light unto you Gentiles, and me a Gentile. And may we rejoice, and may the Lord see fit to let this worship outdoors for now reach all the Gentiles around us and let them know that they too can become God's people. They too can be included in the only true religion under the only true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for there is none else, there is none other. And he is also the God of the Gentiles, of whom would have him. Jesus is the light unto you Gentiles. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you took the steps toward Pontius Pilate to begin the process of the next part of your being falsely condemned, sentenced to death, and set up for execution by the Roman Gentiles through their horrible means of the crucifixion. And yet it was what would lift you up to be seen by the world, that all men would turn to you and look up to you and be saved. People from all people groups of the world. So we see in the Revelation just that. People of every tongue and tribe and nation. Lord, we recognize how blessed we are that you sought us out and had us in view as you stepped toward Pontius Pilate and prepared to step toward the cross. We thank you that you had us in view too. You had plans to save us, and you had plans to send your Spirit and your church to come and rescue and deliver us. Oh Lord, how we marvel, how we know one another when there are so many people. Just as my wife and I marvel over how we met growing up on two different continents and then meeting across this continent. So many people. But you brought us together. So many people out there, so far away in all these different places. But you came and found us. For you had faced the cross for us. You are the light to the Gentiles. You are our light, Lord Jesus. We pray that you would work through us more and more to be a greater light to the world and to reach all these Gentiles and Jews, as it were, around us, to be brought in and reconciled together as one through the crucifixion and the resurrection. We do thank you for seeking us out and saving us, for not leaving us all in despair in the darkness, but bringing your light to the world. O light of the world, lift it up, as it were, on the candlestick of the cross. We look to you there, and we look further to see you up in heaven at the right hand of God. And we thank you that you have made us your subjects. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.